Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world. Give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. The whole congregation of Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as the frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 78 responsively. So he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. So mortals ate the bread of angels. He provided for them food enough. He rained down flesh upon them like dust, and winged birds like the sand of the sea. So they ate and were well filled, for he gave them what they craved. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended to the high, he made captivity itself a captive, and he gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended for above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part of working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give to us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. The readings today give us two themes that I think most of us can relate to quite easily. The two themes, grumbling and eating. I think these are great readings for the summertime when lots of families are on vacation, and both of those things take on a great more meaning. Lots of grumbling, lots of eating. Last summer, Don and I traveled to France to attend an ecumenical conference in Strasbourg. It was a great trip, and we made the most of it, especially in the eating category. We like to try the local foods and to eat the specialties of any particular area that we're visiting. Well, one morning on our journey, we had gotten a good early start, and about mid-morning, we'd stopped for coffee in a little village. And as we were going back to the car, we saw a sign in a bakery that was advertising a special kind of bread that we had read about in our trusty little AAA book that said this is a specialty of the area, especially at a holiday time. Maybe it was Bastille Day or something that was a holiday coming up. So we bought a loaf of this bread, put it in the car, and said, "We'll eat this sometime later in the day when we stop for lunch." Had a nice hunk of sausage to go with it. A couple hours later, we stopped by the shore of a beautiful lake and to have lunch, and took our loaf of bread, and we broke it, each of us breaking off a healthy chunk, and were we surprised. Inside the bread was bright
pink rock candy. I don't know what the, I don't know how they baked it, how that candy didn't dissolve, but it was just hunks of bright pink, very sweet candy. It did not go real well with the sausage, but it was a taste adventure. I hope that you are daring in your food when you travel as well. You know, you really get a taste, a flavor for an area when you eat what the locals eat. Whether that might be to the north of Italy and eating all kinds of new pasta, or to the south in our own country eating barbecue everything. Well, what about that other great vacation theme for today? Grumbling. These are some quotes that I have heard from vacationing families. The most famous being, "Are we there yet?" And, "Don't make me stop this car." I heard a mother talking to her maybe 4-year-old daughter, and she said, "I'm sorry, sweetie, we can't get off. We're on an airplane." And true, a couple weeks ago, I heard a father in the zoo talking to his children. "I have paid over $40 for these tickets. Now stop whining and start having fun." I didn't see them again that day, so I'm not sure how their day went. The scripture readings today take up those two themes of complaining and eating. The passage from Exodus tells us that even when the Israelites grumbled and complained, God fed them. God provided food for them in the wilderness. In John's gospel, the followers of Jesus asked for an impressive sign, and Jesus offered them himself, the bread of life for all who hunger. God's salvation does not guarantee life without hardship. Here we have the people of Israel wandering in the desert. They have escaped slavery, or rather, God has freed them from slavery, and now they are becoming a new people in the desert. This desert time, this wilderness time, was not just wandering time. This was learning time. Who are we? What does it mean to be the people of God? What are we supposed to do? How are we to act? What does it mean to respond to God and to God's gift of freedom? Moses didn't have an easy time with these people. They had barely started out on their journey, that 40-year journey, and the people started grumbling. They were grumbling about being thirsty. Finally, they found water, and then they grumbled because the water didn't taste right. Tasted funny. I know what that's like. But they camped there, and Moses prayed, intervened for them, and the water became sweet-tasting. So they stayed at this camp, and everything was fine until that urging, that wilderness call came to them, and they went further to the wilderness, continuing their journey. And soon they found themselves hungry and thirsty and complaining again. And that's where we meet the people of Israel today in our reading. Hungry, tired, confused, complaining. And they had a right to complain, didn't they? Wasn't it better in the good old days? Sure, we were slaves, but at least we had food. We had those stew pots in Egypt where we could satisfy our hunger. We didn't have these hunger pains. Give us the good old days. This time, Moses doesn't even need to intervene for them. God comes to their rescue, but with instructions that they must follow. God is teaching his people. God is leading them, and they must learn to obey if they are going to eat. God's salvation does not guarantee life without hardships. But the people of Israel will not die of hunger or thirst in the desert. God is with them. God will provide. God rains down bread and meat for the people. God responds to their grumbling and their complaining. Their journey is going to be long, and God will continue to be a faithful God, and they will continue in their faithful response, and they will grow and learn what it means to respond to God. The gifts, though, those gifts of bread and meat, are not simply sustenance in the wilderness. There's an underlying question that the Israelites must answer. God asks them, "Do you trust me?" God puts that question to them in the experiences and the events of their lives. Do you trust me? The portions of food, that manna, that quail, will be given on a daily basis to test them, as Moses says, to see if they will follow instructions or not. Moses is to tell the Israelites that the manna and quail are given so that you may know that I am the Lord your God. When the Israelites see that flaky, fine substance on the ground, fine as frost on the land, they say, manna. That's a Hebrew word. It means, what is it? So they look at this frost substance on the ground and they say, huh? What is it? Manna. And Moses answers them, this is the bread that the Lord has given for you to eat. The people of Israel are challenged to look beyond the bread, to look not at the gift, but at the giver. This is what the Lord has given you to eat. They are to look at the one who sustains the community on their journey. They're challenged to see not just bread, but to see life. They are challenged to see God's providence in their daily situation. And that's the challenge that Jesus presented to those people who were following him across the lake. Look beyond the bread. What were these people really looking for? Why did they follow Jesus? They were following, but not in the way that Jesus wanted them to follow. They came to see if he would be handing out more bread. Wouldn't it be great if we could get another free meal? They're coming back. Sign me up. I want regular delivery. Or they say to him, better yet, show me how to make this sign. Show me how to do this great work. In other words, is there something that I can learn about how to make this 5 loaves into 12 baskets of leftovers? Show me how to do that. The Jewish people, with their collective religious memory, could remember that Moses gave bread to the people in the desert. Jesus knows what they're thinking, and he turns that word bread into himself. Jesus is leading those disciples to take a leap of faith, to put their trust in him, to trust him. He is inviting them to see himself as bread, to see him as the one who gives life to those who would eat. For Jesus, eating and believing are not empty words. He's inviting the disciples and all of us who would be disciples to do more than simply say, yes, I believe. Jesus is inviting the disciples and all of us who would be disciples to live the life that Jesus, the bread of life, Luke came to give. Manna in the wilderness was daily bread for the Israelites. They trusted God to provide, and they found that God was faithful in that promise. When they did not trust, they did not eat. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray that we will be given our daily bread. And we're not just talking about bread for the body. This daily bread contains many grains, many elements. It's about doing God's will by receiving whatever God wants to give us at any moment, receiving what God is giving us. Sometimes it might seem like all we're getting is crumbs or crust or stale bread. We, like the Israelites of old, grumble and complain and talk about how good it was in the good old days. But our God is a faithful God who gives us daily bread. Our God hears our prayer, our complaining, our grumbling, and our praise, and gives us not what we want or what we deserve, but our God is a faithful God who gives us what we need. Our God is a God of mercy and providence. Our daily bread is God's love shared in the Eucharist, eating more and more of the life of grace that we share in the community of the baptized. That holy bread is God's promise that we will not be abandoned, that we will not be left on our own to go our own way. We might be in the wilderness. You might be in a place in your life right now where it feels like you're lost in the desert. You might feel the pangs of hunger. You might even be the one who is always whining and complaining. But God is with us. God is with us in our wilderness, in our hungers, in our thirst, in our complaining, in our grumbling, in our confusion. The promise is that God is with us. God's grace, God's salvation, makes new futures possible, often in surprising ways. Like when the people in the desert, who had been led from slavery to freedom, were fed with daily manna from above. God does wondrous things. Like when the followers of Jesus came seeking free lunch, but were instead given the bread of life that brings life to the world. God does wondrous things. Like when we come together to chew on the Word of God, to fill our hungers with the fellowship of believers, to find our daily bread. God does wondrous things right here, right now, in our lives, in our midst. Jesus declares himself to be the bread of life, sent from heaven to give life to the world. Have you allowed yourself to be daring in your eating of this bread? Have you accepted the help, the nourishment that God is giving you in the friends and the community that surround you? Have you opened your hand to the daily nourishment, the daily bread that is in your life? Have you looked with eyes of faith at those people who are in your life that God is giving you to feed you, to help you, to sustain you? Have you discovered that Jesus, the bread of life for the world, does feed the hunger and the thirst of your soul? Chew on that. Let us pray. Moses led the Israelites to a new land. They got hungry in the desert and grumbled and whined for the flesh pots of Egypt. They sought the good old days of bondage rather than the freedom of life with you. You call us out of our comfort zones, and we too grumble and dig in our heels. We are sometimes leery of new ways. We sometimes turn away from open doors because we've never done that before. We sometimes look beyond and past the friends that you have given to us. Help us to trust you and those you send into our lives. O God, hold our hands. Give us manna. Give us our daily bread. We need to know you are with us on our journeys. Help us believe that you are the bread of life. You are bread and life for us. Amen.